Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. We're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out. We want you to get ready to take lots of notes. We want you to go to another level in your life because it's all about entrepreneurs. Well, we have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, the tools for you to be successful at life, at work, at school, and in your business. And now your host, the power coach, Lalisa, and the possibilities coach, Cassandra. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to the show this morning. It's going to be an awesome show this morning. Coach Cassandra, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Coach Lalisa. Good morning, audience. All About Entrepreneurs audience. What a wonderful day it is today already. I am enjoying myself. What about you? Yes, ma'am. A beautiful day.
Beautiful day, Coach. And we have an awesome day planned.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We've got a great guest. We're going to have a great conversation. And I am absolutely looking forward to it. Yes, yes.
Woohoo! This is the last Tuesday of the month. And this is really our power-packed Tuesday.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Audience, I hope you have been seeing the flyer that has been going around for Power Up Your Possibilities, and that is tonight at 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So this is a once-a-month event that we do with international folks that have a presence all over the world, and we're going to have Manly Feinberg, who took Build-A-Bear from 40 companies to over 400 companies, and he has an organization called Elevate. So he teaches you how to elevate yourself in your thinking to go to the next level. And then we also have Sarah Centralia, who is recently on the Steve Harvey Show. So it's going to be awesome. We want you to join us tonight. And I'm telling you, we are going to have just a great time of going to the next level. If you're ready and you're thinking and you're doing and you're being to go to the next level, tonight is the night. Be there. Be there tonight. And we've got a flyer going around with that phone number. And so we want to make sure you're on board for that. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Yes.
And Hollywood.
Oh,
that's
it's
always
going to...
exciting.
Yes, yes. Can you hear me, Coach Cassandra?
Yes.
Yes,
can you hear me? Can you hear... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Can you hear me? Hello?
Coach? I can. Hello?
Yeah.
Can
yes.
you hear me? I can
yeah,
hear
you. Yeah,
okay.
I hear you loud and clear.
Awesome. You know, these cell phones and wires, and so, hey, I just like to double check every now and again because, you know, I've got the roving studio here and trees,
yes.
You know, the west
It's like the airplanes, you know. When I used to work for the airlines, it was so funny. I really thought I was going to get a lot of my comedy skits from the airline business. We'd be at the airport in Newark, New Jersey, and it could be a bright, sunny day, and we'd have to tell customers that the flight was delayed. And they couldn't understand why. They were like, you know, that's pretty much ridiculous. Why is the flight delayed? It's all bright and sunny. To always crack up laughing, like they never could understand that, well, the plane is coming from Tennessee where there's a storm, you know. So you never know where that plane is coming from, what is going on in that part of that neck of the woods that could cause a flight delay. So I always thought that was so funny. Just like with radio, you never know what's going on with these cell phones, what's happening. They're always doing something different. But with that being said, I'd like to introduce our guest. And first, let me welcome her to the show. Welcome to our guest this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
we can. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear, Jennifer. You sound so great this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my God. We are so excited to have you, Jennifer. You know, we have people come on and share their entrepreneurial journeys and or experiences and or, you know, messages. So I know a lot of people, they wonder, you know, what is this show all about? And Coach Cassandra, when they say that, I tell them, it's all about entrepreneurs. When they call and they say, what is this show all about? All about entrepreneurs. That's pretty funny, right?
Yeah.
title, yes. But Jennifer, you are absolutely a wonderful entrepreneur, someone to have. And I'm looking at your bio here and just, you know, we ask everybody for their bio if we can get it. You know, sometimes people don't have bios ready. And one of the things that we do here on the show, not only do we bring on, you know, powerful entrepreneurs such as yourself and leaders like yourself, Jennifer, but it's also a teaching show as well. So we're teaching people what they need to do in a roundabout way. We're teaching people what they need to do to be an entrepreneur. So in other words, if someone was to listen to our show for, like, say, 6 months to a year, they would absolutely be able to glean every single step it would take to not only be an entrepreneur, but to be a very successful and an effective entrepreneur. You know, that's
absolutely
key, right? Yeah, Jennifer, and I know you got something to say about that, so I'm just going to introduce you and, you know, get on out the way and, you know, let you tell us some of the things you've experienced, and then Coach Cassandra, she will man a little later with some questions for you as well. But Jennifer Heyman is a multifaceted entrepreneur who advises commercial clients on how to improve their client base. Now, that right there, really, you know, I feel like reading his bio is like preaching a sermon. And I feel like I feel like I should hang my hat right there and, you know, go down a little trail and be a little bit more elaborate about that whole improving someone's client base. You know, as we say in churchdom, that'll preach. That'll preach all night. And she also helps to improve the morale. Now, that right there, certainly that's enough to take up an offering. And she also is able to help them increase their revenue and strengthen their customer loyalty through gifting. And after years of volunteering her services while she was raising her family. Yes, that's right. She had a family that she was raising. And that right there says a lot, you know. Talk about multifaceted. And while she was working in, quote-unquote, corporate America, Well, she is now a one half the owner of a thriving catering business in Virginia Beach, Virginia, serving all events and guests anywhere from 10 to over 200. Well, that's a lot of people to feed at one time. And Jennifer, she is currently serving as the president of the Key City, get this, Norfolk local chapter of the National Association of Professional Women. Wow, Jennifer, now, I saw some pictures on Facebook. I saw you in some pictures, National Association of Professional Women, and I didn't realize that you were one of the presidents. So I want to say right here on the show, congratulations. She's also received all types of awards. I'm talking about Jennifer Heyman. For those of you who have just tuned in, welcome to the show and good morning. Our special guest on today is Jennifer Heyman. She is a multifaceted entrepreneur. I'm reading her bio, and I'm telling you, it reads like the who's who amongst professional women in the country and around the world. She also has received numerous awards and worked in all types of organizations where she has also served. Jennifer is the administrator for her church. Wow. The Greater Thou Faith in Virginia Beach. Oh, Greater Thou Faith, yes. Yes, get some greater faith. We talk about faith a lot here on the show, Jennifer, just so that you'll know. And she volunteers with many charities through her social affiliations and supports the Toys for Tots and the Angel Tree during the holiday season. She mentors young women, teaching them how to respect themselves. And she also, and Jennifer also, and she tells them to command respect from their, from how people can encounter. Jennifer enjoys her work as a mentor as she sees daily the impact that women have in their homes, in their church, in their communities, in their schools. And she has traveled around the country educating and training clients on the services and opportunities available to them. You can connect with Jennifer. She is on the World Wide Web, on the Internet. You can connect her using social media. You can go to her Twitter page, and you can connect with her on LinkedIn. So you would go on Twitter. You would go to twitter.com/S12Heyman. I believe that's S12 Heyman. And you can connect with her on LinkedIn.com/IN/JenniferHeyman1. And if I got any of that incorrect, I will let Jennifer reiterate that later on in the show. Wow, Jennifer. You know, I met Jennifer, about 3 or 4 years ago on my travels to Virginia Beach, Virginia. I was one of the speakers. Jennifer was one of the speakers as well at a very powerful women's conference down in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And it was an awesome event. Oh, my God, Virginia Beach is so beautiful. If you haven't been there, the end of New Jersey, New York area is only about a 6 to 7 hour drive, and the places are just fabulous. But Jennifer, when she got up to speak, I'll never forget Jennifer's speech, and she talked about, she gave an example of, she did very powerful instructions about how to be successful in business. I'll never forget it, Jennifer. And she also told us about how you can get started and go one step at a time and just, you know, complete each step, you know, be meticulous, take care, you know, pay attention to detail. And if I'm not mistaken, you talked about how does someone eat, what do you call it? Like, how does someone
eat an elephant?
I'll never forget your analogy. I still remember that. And how they eat it one bite at a time. And
that's how
you take big tasks. And you were talking about how a lot of times our tasks seem so large, and then we get overwhelmed and we get stuck. And you
exactly.
talked about how to, gave an example of how to break it down into these little tiny steps. And Jennifer, I tell you, I'll never forget that. But without further ado, Coach Cassandra, those of you who are listening in, we want to introduce to you this powerful woman, entrepreneur, Jennifer Hayman. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you all so much for having me. It is an absolute blessing just to be able to talk to you this morning, so I thank you.
Yes, yes. Well, our style here on the show is very conversational
okay.
when it comes to our guests. We don't necessarily have a list of questions, though we will ask you questions, but it's very conversational style, and so I hope and pray that you're comfortable with that. I believe
oh, yeah.
you are.
Yes, I am.
I've had a few conversations with you. And, Jennifer, you've been doing some exciting things. Oh, my God. But I don't know where to start.
It's been a busy year. It's been a busy year, absolutely. And the latest of which are, of course, the being nominated as the president of the NAPW for the Norfolk chapter and
wow.
Being nominated for an Achi Magazine Award for a Woman of
what?
Achievement. Yes.
Oh my.
So it's been a very busy year, very busy year. Of course, I'm in the company of a lot of outstanding women, but for me, truly, just being nominated was a blessing. It was totally humbling that people notice what you do even when you don't realize they're watching.
Jennifer, you know, I have to say this. You know, you had your daughter with you at that women's conference. I'll never forget it. And you really said something to me that really pushed me further in my business, okay? So
okay.
you are truly a mentor. You are a powerful, powerful woman. I really hope you, and I know you know that. That's why they selected you. But when I came down there and I talked about Release Your Power, I had my books. And I don't,
yes.
my books aren't all over the place being sold here, there, and everywhere. Though they could, I could promote them like that, but I don't. I tend to allow them to attract who God would send that really needs that message. And I just, you know, believe that that's the way God wants me to do it, right, until he says to do something different. Well,
okay.
But I was so confident about the message and about the whole empowerment thing. And I remember you bought the book. You said, I want to get your book. And you may have bought both because I have the book and I also have the workbook. And you said, yeah, I'm going to get that and whatever. And I'm looking at you like, wow, here's a very successful woman. She's one of the speakers herself. She has this beautiful daughter sitting here. Certainly, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, what could she possibly think she could learn from Coach Lalisa? But what you said to me really launched me to keep doing what I do. You said to me, you said, oh, I'm really into empowerment. You
yes,
said if you got anything, you said if you got anything else, let me know. Email me because I want it. And I thought, oh, really? Do you remember that conversation we had?
I do. And truly, I mean, empowerment is a lot of folks don't realize it, but we're all empowered to do things. But sometimes it takes reading something someone else wrote or hearing something someone else says to get you moving to doing what you want to do. So I am never above learning just a little bit more to get me just a little bit further down that road to achieving those goals that are on my list. So empowerment, yes, I too need to be empowered. I empower others by letting them see their potential, but I too need to be empowered by someone like you.
Well, you empowered me that day when you said that you love empowerment stuff. So I thought, wow, there must be other people like Jennifer that also loves empowerment stuff. And
yes, indeed.
Time,
yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. There are people all over the place that are doing things to empower others. Sometimes they don't even realize they're doing it. You know, something as simple as saying hello to someone empowers them to live another day. They may have been thinking about ending it today, and just by you walking by and saying, good morning, how are you today, that empowered them to give it another try.
Whew, that's awesome. You know, I tell you, you and Francine Humphrey that I met, you know, through, I met you through her, and Robin, I'm like, you women are, you know, you women, I'm like, I'm moving to Virginia Beach. Oh, yeah.
We'd love to have you. But I don't think New Jersey's going to let you go just yet.
Boy, you ladies are just awesome, though. You guys are doing big. I love the way you all just take charge, and I can, and that National Association of Professional Women. So tell us about, I just wanted you to know, I don't know if I'd ever told you how you had empowered me with those words. So, oh my God, I wanted to know, it just came to me that when you said, I'll never forget it, Jennifer, you are a beautiful woman. You're beautiful. When I came down there the other year, you and your husband, you helped me carry my things to the car. I mean, you just, you know, you just really amazed me. But such a sweetheart, you know, you made sure you were like, okay, do you have enough gas money to get back home? You're just so concerned about me. You know, it was if, you know, you had brought me down there and if I was, you know, staying at your home or something, you were just so, you know, kind and generous. So I could see that that association, they are going to benefit from you. So tell us, what's it like to be president? What was that experience like being nominated? And tell us what your first order of business was and what's going on.
Well, it was, that was another one of those humbling moments. You know, you get a phone call in the morning and you're told that we would like to see you as the next president of our chapter. And you're thinking, wow, okay. I've only attended a couple of meetings. I only joined a few months ago. But the exiting president saw something in me that she liked and wanted me to be the next leader of the chapter. And, of course, the first order of business, as is with any president, is to get your new cabinet. So that was the first thing we had to do, was get a new cabinet in there and just get things moving. The chapter was doing some wonderful things, which is how it got to be the Key City chapter, is because of the things that it was doing in the community. So now we're just trying to expand that even further by reaching into our own resources, using the people that are associated with us to let them get out and give them a platform, basically, on telling what they do. Because a lot of times you go places and you hear people speak, but you can tell that the only reason they're speaking is because they want to sell you their product, you know, at the end, where you're not getting any empowerment from it as you do when you speak, which was absolutely wonderful as well when we saw you. But I wanted to want our chapter now to be an inclusive, so to speak, chapter, to make sure that we're using all of our resources and not having to go out and shop for anything, because guess what? Our store has everything we need. We just need to make a list, go find it, and put them on the platform, let them speak. And some people have never spoken before, so why not give them that opportunity to start now so that this can propel them to go even further and speak to even bigger crowds?
Wow. You know, I am so proud of you. I am so excited. I'm definitely not shocked at all, because I met you one time, and I was like, wow, this lady is awesome. And so, you know, I'm just so thrilled to hear that chapter is going to be doing so many wonderful things. I can't wait to come down and visit you all. And then you also have this powerful catering business, and you're going to tell us about that. I mean, how in the world did you get started? And I've seen pictures. I've seen the food. You all go around to different offices, and you prepare lunch. And, wow, what is it like being a caterer?
Actually, that's probably one of the most natural things for me, because I so love cooking, and I love seeing people enjoy the food that I prepare, that catering was just an option of getting paid for what I've been doing for, 35 years. And it's great, because most, you know, when you cook, I don't know if you cook, so a lot of people don't, but when you cook, there's a satisfaction that comes when you're all done. You lay the food out, and everybody comes and they dig in. You know, it looks so pretty when you put it out, but then after a few minutes, you're wondering, what in the world was that? But then you realize they enjoyed what they just ate. And that gives me joy. Getting paid for it is a bonus. But just being able to prepare the food and have them enjoy the food. And my motto or my tagline for our food is that we take you home to grandma's house. There was nothing better when I was younger than coming home and just smelling all of this food in the kitchen. You know there was going to be a good time in that kitchen tonight. And that's the kind of food I fix. I want to make sure that when you sit down and you pick up your fork, you're already thinking that you're somewhere else other than where you are simply because of the meal that you're about to have, and it's putting a smile on your face. That's the joy of cooking for me.
That's awesome. And for those of you who have just tuned in, good morning and welcome to the AAE show. We are talking with our awesome special guest, Ms. Jennifer Hayman, who is a multifaceted entrepreneur who is so successful at organizing and getting things together and making sure things are managed well, and such a powerful leader that a very powerful organization, the National Association of Professional Women, contacted her and asked her to be their chapter president. That is huge. I've been a part, and those of you who have been a part of any of those organizations and associations, you know what a huge, huge role that is and the charge that you have before you to lead. You're truly, when you are in a Christian position like that, you are truly a leader. You are true, because you truly have something to lead, and you truly have people following you. You know, we say sometimes in leadership, people say they're leaders, but if no one's following you, who are you really leading other than yourself? Other than yourself, of course, which is very powerful to lead yourself. But at the same time, we talk about leading others if people aren't really following. But you come with a ready-made following, because everybody that is a member, and then you also have the opportunity to increase membership,
exactly.
Which
yes.
Definitely takes a lot of work. So you have a lot of work cut out for you. You also have a
yes.
Family. And I know there's a lot you can tell us, but what's your success tips for managing it all, and what success tips would you give to someone who wants to truly in their heart be successful at being an entrepreneur?
Okay. Well, there are a few things I would tell them. The first one is, to make sure that what you're about to do is something that you're passionate about. If you're not passionate about it and you're trying to go into business for it, well, guess what? It's just another job. And the whole idea of being an entrepreneur is that you're getting some pleasure out of, some enjoyment out of what you're doing. So, number one, make sure that you're passionate about what you're about to do. Number two, set some goals. And I don't mean set a goal for next week or for next month, but set a goal for five years from now, and then work backwards from that goal. Once you set that goal, break it down. As you said earlier, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. No one can literally sit down and eat an elephant all at once, but if you chop it up into small pieces, guess what? You can do it. And eventually, you're going to have a bag of bones there in front of you because you've taken care of that task. Same thing with setting your goals. Set your goals for a long ways out, and then break it down so that you have some measurable points to know that you're making progress. And number three, don't give up. You can't give up. Just because you didn't do it in the amount of time you said you were going to do it, guess what? Set a new goal, because life will happen. Trust and believe that once you put it down that you're going to do something, and you all know where I'm going with this, the devil's going to show up. And if you don't believe in the devil, somebody's going to show up and mess up your plans. So you can't give up just because it didn't work the first time. Try it. It didn't work. Guess what? Reset the goal, because maybe one of those goals you set wasn't meant for you to do in the first place. So work around that. Find a new one. Reset it. Start over. But each time you start, you'll notice that you've moved just a little bit further ahead. So you're not always starting at zero. You may be starting at 10 the next time, at 20 the next time, but eventually, guess what? You're going to be at 100. And when you get to 100, actually, by the time you get to 50, there should already be another goal set. Because if you don't set anything else, when you get to your goal, what are you going to do now?
Wow.
But there always
has
to be a new goal set.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. That was it. Those are the three things. Passion.
Yes.
Setting a goal and not quitting.
Wow. Wow. Set the goal. Be passionate about. I like that, too, because you're so right. I mean, a lot of times we go into business because if we're going to do something that we really don't enjoy, we're probably not really going to maximize the income or the success that we're going to have. Therefore, that big dream of, you know, being so successful is just really gone. And in that case, we just may as well stay working, you know, for someone else.
Exactly.
But the whole notion of going into business for oneself, typically people go into business because they have a dream.
Yes.
Because they have some passion, something that they want to do, or they work somewhere and they realize that, you know what, I could do it different. I could do it better.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
And
sometimes they see something that they think they can do, and they don't always think it through. They don't sit down and set the goals or write it out and see what it's going to take. So that passion comes in to be one of the most important things in being an entrepreneur. You have to be passionate about what you do. As you've heard a lot of people say, if you'll do it for free, you can get paid for it. Or another way of looking at it is, I love doing this so much, I would do it for free. That's the kind of passion you have to have when you go into business for yourself.
You're absolutely, boy, that is so true and so powerful. Now, you also have been a part of a lot of events.
Yes.
People have invited you to speak. Can you share some of those types of events that you have been, that you've been allowed to, you know, grace the stage with these people? And tell us, what does that feel like to be called upon to come and share your ideas? Like, how did you get started doing that?
Okay. Well, I'll stick with catering because that really has gone into many places for me. As I said earlier, I enjoy cooking. And a lot of times when I go somewhere, I would bring something to eat because I'm from the South, and Grandma always told us you always feed people. You know, they won't always tell you if they're hungry, but if the food is there, they'll eat. So I've always brought something with me, and people taste it, they eat it, they like it, and they're asking, where'd you get that? Or, you know, where'd you buy that from? And when I tell them I made it, it's like, okay, can I get some too? And that's how it goes. So a lot of it is through referral. And, of course, you have to advertise, but it's very nice. It feels very good when someone recommends you to someone because guess what? Now you don't have to do the cold contacting with them. You can go in and say, hi, so-and-so recommended me to give you a call. And when you can do that, and this is with any business, not just catering, but any business, anything that you're marketing, it helps if there is a referral that attaches to it, because now you're already in the door. You've already gotten past the gatekeeper simply because someone has already mentioned your name to the person in charge. So
well,
I'll say that to everyone listening. If you ever have an opportunity to recommend or refer someone for something, it doesn't have to always have anything in it for you, but you can help someone else move up just a little bit further by just mentioning their name to someone that can make a difference.
Wow. And then we already have learned, and we've talked about this on the show before, how what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. It may not be immediate for you, but it will come back to you eventually.
Some way, shape, form, or fashion. It may not be in the same, but something will happen in your life that will let you know that God is on your side, that God is helping
will.
You out.
Yes.
And, you know, I thought that as you were talking about, being the referrals, the customers, and I noticed in your bio it talks about how you help your clients, you know, increase and improve their client base. Can you just give us one tip, marketing tip, that will help us today? Because everybody wants to know, how to get everyone in business, all entrepreneurs want to know how to get either how to get customers, how to get more customers, and or how to keep the ones we got. But can you help us how to get customers?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing that you have to do is listen. You have to listen so that you can hear a need. And if you hear a need that you can satisfy, that's how you get your customer. You can't fix something that's not broken. So in order to sell it or to move it, you have to hear a need for it. You know, in talking to someone, part of the business I'm in is gifting. And sometimes you're talking to people and they're telling you how, you know, they get a customer, they lose a customer, they don't know how to keep a customer. Well, guess what? You keep a customer the same way that you're kept by someone else. You're giving them gifts. When you go to a store and you're shopping and ever so often they send you a coupon or they send you a gift card, well, guess what? That's their way of keeping you coming back. You do the same thing with your clients and your customers. You're always giving them something. And that something you give them doesn't have to have anything to do with the product or service that you're selling. But you give them something to say, thank you. I appreciate your business. Thank you so much for that referral. You did a great job on that presentation. You've been coming to work for the last 5 years. You've never missed a day. Thank you so much for that. Recognize the things that they do. Just because you have a job, it doesn't mean that you still can't be recognized for doing that job. Because if you think about it, when you're paid to do a job, you're paid for doing that job. When you go above and beyond that, that's not a part of the pay that you're getting, but it helps you when you're recognized for doing that. It helps you do even more when someone takes the time to say, thank you, here's a gift, here's a small token of my appreciation, just to say thank you for what we're already paying you for. You know, because when you have a job, they're paying you. Whatever you're doing while you're there, that's what you're getting paid for. None of us ever thought when we were working for someone else that we were getting paid enough. No one ever does get paid what they're worth until you're in business for yourself. But at least while you're on that job, if they take the moment to say thank you for being here, thank you for what you did, that was a great idea, that was a great new process, that makes you smile a little more. And guess what? If you're smiling, it's going to rub off on the person next to you. And what has happened? Morale has been boosted because everybody's smiling.
Wow. That is such a great, you know, those are some great tips. And wow, you talk about secrets. Secrets have been launched here today. I love that. You listened. Wow, you go, girl. You said listen to the customer, listen to the person, listen to the need. And, you know, that's one of the things that's one of the first things I heard in my very first course and our marketing course. They said, what is marketing? Find a need and fill it.
That's
the whole premise. Find a need and fill it. So, yeah, I answered it on the test, and, yes, I may have wrote an essay about it. But hearing it from the standpoint of actually being an entrepreneur and being here on the radio and hearing you say it one more time, it's just interesting. So I hope everyone that's listening, no matter how many times you've heard it, whether you got it or didn't get it, I hope hearing it one more time has really sealed the deal. Because sometimes, you know, it's the way we hear it, it's who we hear it from, it's our mindset when we hear it, you know, it's the conditions of the environment when we hear it. You know, all these things play an important part on how we take action on something, I believe.
Oh, yeah, and the main thing is you have to always know what products you have. You have to always know what you have to offer, because guess what? If you're into, let's say you work at a car dealership, but someone comes in there and they're not necessarily looking for a car, but they're saying, well, you know what, my car has been driving kind of weird lately, sort of leaning to the side. And guess what? You're a car dealership. You have a parts department. You have a service department. So that person may not need a car, but they need their car service. So if you're hearing them, instead of just being in the mode to sell them a car, but you're in the mode to service that customer, and you hear that customer has a need, what are you going to do? You're going to get them to your service department. You don't need to sell them a new car if all they need is to get that nail out of their tire. You need to take care of that need. Okay, you take care of that need, and guess what? They're going to be appreciative, and now they may know someone else that needs a car. Or in a few months, their daughter may need a car, or their son may need a car. But because you took care of their actual need, they're going to remember that. And that's
wow.
how you get a new customer. You listen for the need, and you fill that need. But you have to know what you have in order to fill that need. If the only thing you know is that you sell cars, and that person is telling you my car is not running well, but I don't think it's mechanical, I think it's something else, and all you know is how to sell cars, guess what? You're going to lose that customer because you're not satisfying their need. You're trying to satisfy your need.
Well, Jennifer, that is just excellent, excellent insight and information. Wow, no wonder. I see why they have nominated you the president and why they choose to follow you. And that's what because you have come on this show and you have given us a valuable, and I've been to a lot of marketing sessions. I've been to a lot of sales meetings, and trust and believe me, what I got out of you this morning. And so, you know, we're just led here on this show by the Holy Spirit. And so when we email people or inbox people and ask them to be a guest on the show, you know, there's no, you know, real rhyme or reason. It's just whoever God sends to us, individuals that have something to impart to us. So we want to definitely thank you so much for coming on and, you know, really enlightening us. And I want to just take this moment to, on behalf of myself and Coach Cassandra and all those who are connected to All About Entrepreneurs, and just to say thank you to our audience for listening. You know, each and every day, we don't take it lightly that you all are here. Did you tune in? You get up every morning at whatever time you get up, but then at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time or 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, it's 6 o'clock in the place, in some parts of the country, and certainly where our co-host is, Coach Cassandra. Thank you for getting up, tuning in, and for those of you, and we see you. We see you on Facebook. We see you on Twitter, tweeting that the show is on. Thank you to Mr. Robert and Lori and Danielle and others who tweet and share this show because we know you don't have to do it. And so we do appreciate you, and thank you for coming on and reminding us. Thank you for coming on and reminding us, Jennifer. Not that, you know, we have forgotten, because Coach Cassandra is always cognizant of that we must thank people and love on our customers. And we haven't been able to, you know, we haven't given out a whole lot of gifts just yet, but we are going to start. I think we're revving up. And maybe we needed the gift master, such as yourself, to come on to tell us what we need to do. So
that's right. That's what I'm here for.
Your mission is accomplished.
One more important step in that process is not only listen for the need, but fill the need. Understand what that means. It means filling the need, asking for the sale, sharing the information so that your customers can make a better decision. So what am I going to do? I'm going to share the information with you all. I'll send you a message to see if what I have will supply that need for you.
Well, that's wonderful. Jennifer, this is Cassandra speaking. I've been
enjoying
Good
morning.
Good morning. You said... you're the National Association of Professional Women, how can folks get on board if they want to become a part of it, even if they're not in Virginia Beach?
Well, the great news about the NAPW is that they're everywhere. So you can go on Facebook. There's probably a page for the chapter in your area, or just go to NAPW.com. Look for your state and then look for your city. There are NAPW chapters all over, and every president of every chapter would love to welcome you aboard. So just go to www.napw.com.
Awesome, awesome.
And look for your state and look for your city.
And what is the best way folks can get a hold of you if they're interested in maybe being mentored by you or someone in your organization? What's the best way to connect with you?
Okay, well, you can reach me on Facebook at Jennifer Hyman, and that's H-Y-M-A-N, Hyman. And you can also reach me on Twitter at SJ2, as in Stephen Jennifer 2 Hyman. as well as in LinkedIn as Jennifer Hyman. And, of course, you can look up either of our companies, H&H Catering, or It's the Perfect Gift is the name of our gifting company. But the easiest way to reach me is just to reach out to me on Facebook at Jennifer Hyman. Message me
okay,
there,
great.
And I can respond to you pretty quickly.
Now, listen, what are some of the ways that you teach women how to respect themselves? What are some of the important things they need to know?
Okay. That goes back to my grandma. You know, she always had a saying, and I'm sure a lot of other parents had this same saying, is that a man can lie down in the mud and he gets up smelling like a rose. When a woman does it, she gets up with fleas. She gets up with dirt. She gets up smelling like a pig. There are other words that, of course, they used back then, but I won't say those words. But you know what I mean. Women have to conduct themselves in a way that when you see them, it automatically commands respect of them. You know, you see them coming, and you want to get up and open the door for them. They walk into the room, you want to get up and give them your seat, because that's up to us. That's up to us to command that. A lot of men are not taught how to respect women, so it's up to us to command the respect, to make sure that when they see you, they see something different. That means you don't wear your dress all the way up to your hip. You don't wear your top all the way down to your navel. You dress like a lady. Now, I may be stepping on a lot of toes by saying this because the fashion trend now is to make it shorter and shorter and make it lower and lower. Well, guess what? People that are looking at those women, that's not the woman they want to take home to meet their parents. That may be the woman they want to hang out with in the street, but that's not who they want to take home.
All right.
I know that's right. She said that.
And that's me. You know, I can dress with the best of them, but guess what? You're going to have to imagine what's under my clothing. I'm not showing it to you.
Come on now. Keep it
okay.
Real.
And now when you're walking down the street, there's nothing to imagine. Literally, nowadays, nothing to imagine because your dress is invisible.
Wow.
It's invisible. And you're in public. So that's how I teach them. You have to respect yourself. That means you're not getting out there with the foul mouth and trying to be one of the boys, because guess what? You're not one of the boys.
Okay.
We can do what they do, but we still need to be ladies at it. My husband's a truck driver. I've seen women drive truck, and guess what? I was so proud I saw one. She had her nails on. She had her eyes on. She had a face on. Her hair was done, but she was in a great big truck, driving it just for men. So she did not give up who she was to do the job that they were doing. She still remembered, I'm a lady. I'm doing this job,
wow,
but I'm a lady. And I don't want you to forget it. And guess what? Because of how she carried herself, even though she's in a male-dominated industry, those men still gave her respect because she first respected herself.
But you know
but
what
if she
happens
had
is
out of that truck covered in the grease and the hair tied in the rag, they would have treated her like she was one of them. There would have been no respect. They would have been cussing around her and saying things that they wouldn't say around their wife or their mother. But because she commanded that respect in the way that she carried herself, they respected her in that way.
And you know what you're talking about. You're absolutely. I'll never forget when I worked as a consultant, and I would go to a company that obviously it was acceptable for them to curse like sailors.
Mm.
And when I would walk into the room, the whole atmosphere would change.
Yes.
They start cursing. They call me ma'am, and they
yes.
say, "Oh, you must be a church lady. You must." And I never say anything about church. But your presence can command respect.
That's
they
right.
They knew that I didn't play that.
That's
you know?
Right.
And if someone did supposedly let a word slip, they said, "Oh, excuse me, I didn't see you standing there."
Yes, I've had, and you know what
and
my response is sometimes to that is,
what's
why
that?
Did it matter if I were standing there if you're saying something you shouldn't have said?
Woo, because because they want
to get them thinking,
know,
so that it's not just when
exactly.
you're around that they act right, but even when you're not around, they ought to think. Anyone could walk in at any moment, so if you're going to do something you shouldn't do, maybe you should think twice about it.
Well, you know what happens? Some people, and it goes back to home training. Some
yes.
people, that was their acceptable way of
yes.
treating one another. That the mama
yes.
cussed them out, the daddy cussed them out, they cussed each other
mm.
out in the house.
Mm.
And it's terrible, but, you know, you'll go places and you see women talking like, oh, my God, I wish I had some soap and water right now to help you out. And you're thinking that they have no clue. They don't even think that it's a negative reflection on themselves.
No, no. I know one of the things I'm always telling folks
yeah.
when they're raising up kids, and I even posted this the other day on Facebook, that if the child is doing something that 15 years from now is not going to be cute, it's not cute now either.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
don't let them do it when they're young, because guess what? You're teaching them that it's okay to do that. No, it's not. If
mm-hmm.
it's not going to be cute when they're 15, it's not cute when they're 3. It's not cute when they're 2. It's not cute when they're 5. If it's not going to be cute when they walk out this door and embarrass you, it shouldn't be cute in your living room either.
Well, you know,
that doesn't mean
kids
can't have fun. It just means that
absolutely.
You need to keep
absolutely.
Them in check. You need to let them know that you can't hit me in my face and think that that's a cute little game, because it's not. Because when you grow up and you think, oh, well, you know what, let's play this game again. No, because now you want to correct them and you can't, because you've already taught them that this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our house, and it's so funny because in our house, when my grandmother was basically E.F. Hutton. When she spoke, everybody listened. When you went to church and you started acting up, she didn't even have to be sitting near you because, and you all know where I'm going with this, you felt
right.
the eyes on the back of your head.
Wait.
And
come on
you
now.
Knew you better sit up and you better act right. But that sort of has been lost, because there's no one now that's looking, because mom and dad are too busy cutting up themselves that they're not paying attention to you back there cutting up, so they can't correct you. And when my kids were younger, and it you know, we still do this now, we never went for the pants falling down routine. So when their friends would come over, because my kids had already told them, you better pull your pants up before you get to my house, I would look out the window and see them before they would even get to the edge of the yard. They would be straightening up their pants and tightening up their belts.
All right.
Because
that.
That's what we commanded here. And the other, one of the other, and I think this is so important, especially nowadays, is you weren't allowed to bring a bag into my house that I couldn't look in. It didn't matter
all
whose
right.
child you were. If you were coming into my home, I want to know what you're bringing behind you. So my kids would tell them, my mom is going to go through your bag. And they would say, no, she's not. And they're like, okay, if you bring that bag in the house, my mom is going through your bag. Because there's no such thing as privacy in my home. If you're not the one paying the bills, you don't get privacy. That means you're not going to go out there and blow up a school because you're building a bomb in the garage. Why? Because I'm going to go through your bag when you bring it in the house. I'm going through your room because that's my job. That's how I let you know I love you, by not letting you do something you shouldn't be doing, not letting you have something you didn't earn, bring something home you didn't pay for. That's my job, and that's something
absolutely.
That's lost.
Yeah, it's called good parenting
yes.
skills. But
yes.
if you don't get it as a child, you know what? It really has to be taught. So I wish they would teach that really starting in middle school and up, because it's so unfortunate to see kids cussing like junkyard
mm.
dogs in the school system, and then their parents come in and you say their child was cussing or whatever. What? Not my little Johnny. Not my Susie. Cussing like
you know what?
Junkyard dogs.
There's a very famous psychologist. I'm not sure of it. I don't remember his exact name. I don't know if it was Piaget or one of those psychologists who had did a lot of research that proved that by age five,
mm-hmm.
age five, a child's personality, not the personality, but a lot of their characteristics of
yes.
what they learn rest of their lives. It's already there. So a lot
they've
of
already learned it.
When we talk about going into seventh graders, I'm not saying it's too late because people can change at any time, but when you go in and they're in the seventh grade, remember you got to undo stuff. You're not just going in.
Have to unlearn some behaviors.
You got to go in and undo, because if that child, like Dr. Jennifer is saying, if that child has learned from birth, mommy, that they can get whatever they want and don't have to earn it, if they can curse at adults, or even if they watch it, you may never told them that, but you showed them that. They say
right,
children,
you allowed them to see it.
They learn more by what they catch than what they're taught. When they see you cursing out your mother on the phone, when they see you fussing at mom because she didn't loan you money to pay rent, when they see you fussing at daddy because, you know, he stayed out all night with a woman, that's where they learn these things as little children. You watch little kids, they mimic. By age five, they can mimic everything they've seen you do.
Yes.
And not only what you do, but what they watch the most. And so I really see that we have such our work to do is cut out for us, because we got to get to the woman when she has the baby. When she's pregnant, you got to get that girl or woman, whatever age they are, in a room and do this teaching that Coach Cassandra and you and that and Dr. Jennifer that you are talking about. We got to get them while they're pregnant. Get them before
I like
pregnant
that new title you're giving me, Coach Lalisa. Maybe you're speaking something on to me, Dr. Jennifer.
It's rolling off my tongue, girl. You are Dr. Jennifer.
But you're absolutely right. You have to catch them before they start to teach anyone else to live as they've lived. And when you're pregnant, you have to make changes. I tell people all the time that life comes in three stages: before you have kids, when you have kids, and after you have kids. Once you have kids, your life changes. And for the next 18 years, your life is theirs. You still live, but you have to live your life so that they have the example they're going to need, so that when that 18 years or 20 years or 25 years come and they're out on their own, they can now repeat that process. But if you forget to teach them because you're too busy having a good time and you don't want to give that up, well, guess what? That's the lesson you're teaching them. Whether you're doing it intentionally or not, you're teaching them that lesson. And once you have kids, you need to be in that mindset to know that things are not going to be as they were last year. For the next few years, I've got to tailor what I do so that I am a better example to them. And if you didn't have that example for yourself, well, guess what? You've got a little bit of work to do. If you had that example, as I did, there was nothing that had to change because I already knew this is what you have to do now. But if you don't have that example, then, yes, someone like your Coach Lalisa or your Coach Cassandra or myself needs to step in and try to teach you a few things before that child comes along, the first of which is respecting yourself.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Now, how often do you do the mentoring? Is that something you offer once a week, once a month? And
that's
how does that happen?
Ongoing process. That's one of those things I do it whenever I see the need for it. Sometimes it is scheduled. Most of the time I see it and I schedule myself. But
okay,
you can,
so they would
reach out to me that at any time and it can be done. Yes. My calendar is always open for mentoring. If I can't go to you directly, we'll bring you to where I am doing something.
Okay.
You can come to where I am and sit in and listen. But mentoring is always there.
Awesome, awesome. That is so wonderful. That is so needed. And I see it just as needed in the church as I do in the world.
Oh, yes.
You know, folks coming in, they haven't been Christians and... You know, I was at a church visiting, and a lady had on a dress that was so sheer. Her bosom was very, the girls were sitting up high and the dress was cut very low. And I was horrified for her. I wanted to take a sheet and just wrap it around her. And she looked so hideous. Mm. It just was just horrifying. That's the only word I know for it. And I said, Lord, how is it that she has no consciousness of even walking down the aisle? Because that particular day, the pastor said he was, you know, stand in the aisle. He wanted to shake people's hands as they, and I'm sure he was trying, well, transferring the anointing. He says, I want to shake everyone's hand as mm-hmm. they gave. She walked down that aisle, just a huge, big girl. And whether she was huge or not, the dress was so inappropriate, very short, sheer. And she just looked like she had no sense of inappropriate at all in her consciousness. And, you know, and even if she says that's all she had, I'm sure she had to have had something a little longer. I would have even loved to see a pair of pants with that short dress.
Yes.
It just made you so sad to see that. And, you know, all I can say is you just want to just put your arms around them and say, you know, there's a better way. There's a better way. You know, maybe you weren't taught it, but there's absolutely a better way. And
I think that the thing is that people have to realize that just because someone made it, they didn't necessarily make it for you. You know, there are different body types that have to wear different clothing that fit differently. I can't wear what my daughter wears, but I wouldn't want to because my daughter is only 21. I'm 50. I don't want to dress like my 21-year-old daughter. And
right.
I know that's what people see outside now. They see these actresses and they're dressing, they're 50 years old and they're dressing like they're a teenager, you know, and their thought is, well, I have the body, I'm going to show it, but you still need to dress appropriately. You don't necessarily have to dress your age, but you need to dress appropriately. And if you've got little kids running around with you, you shouldn't have on the Daisy Dukes. That's not what you should be wearing around them. So with that young lady that you're talking about, she may have seen that outfit on somebody else and thought it was cute and thought she could rock it too, and it just didn't work. And there was no one around her to tell her before she walked out that door that if you're going to wear that outfit, you need to put a jacket on with it and make sure that jacket is longer than the dress.
Ooh.
No one told her that. That's also a part of my mentoring is I teach people how to dress. And how to dress on a budget. Not everybody can afford a lot, but you can afford a few things. And she just didn't have anyone in her house that cared enough to tell her you should not wear that outside.
Mm. That has to be it. That has to be it. I'll never forget when, God bless me, to attend Oral Roberts University and went to university. It was a young lady, and she... we saw someone, you know, that was dressed rather loosely, and she said, you know, I used to dress like that. She said, because that's how my mama dressed, you know. So, you know, I saw
them
filling up. Yeah, and she said, and it wasn't until I started getting around other college kids that I started to know, you know, I shouldn't be dressing like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that college kids can't dress, you know, crazy, some of them too, but she noticing some of them more. Ones that are, you know, more successful and more a little more conservative didn't dress the way she used to dress, you know.
Right.
So, but she came into that consciousness once she began to, you know, observe people and, you know, and especially dressing professionally. And then she started to come into the knowledge of there's a better way to, you know, dress yourself when you're, you know, in public. So. Yeah, so thank God for what you're doing. Thank God that, you know, you are an example. And that's what all of us are, whether we want to be or not. We are examples.
Absolutely.
Of how to do it the right way, you know. So we've got to do what it takes to, you know, show folks, you know, there's a better way. And you know, I remember when I was younger, people used to say, well, you think you're better than us. You know, I'm like, no. This is just the way I do it. You know, I'm rolling with me. I'm doing me.
That's right.
You know, you're doing you.
That's right.
I'm doing me. So that doesn't make me better. But if you see something in that appears to look like it's better, you know, then oh, well, what can I say? You know, I'm just being me. I'm not trying to be better. I'm just being who I felt like God made me to be, and this works for me.
That's
know?
Right. So that's right. I think I read somewhere the other day that said that there are three types of people in the world, the ones who hate you, the ones who either want what you have, or the ones who want to take it away from you. But that's what it boils down to. When she saw you, it wasn't that what you had was better or worse. She didn't have it, and she saw something in it, and the only way she could react to it was by being negative instead of saying,
mm-hmm.
how do I get
mm-hmm.
to be like you?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I tell people, I'm also an evangelist, Doc, and I had a message called, your haters are your elevators.
Yes, they
what
are.
I meant by that is that, you know, God tells us to bless those that despitefully use you and, you know, pray for them and bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be difficult. You know, you might say it through tears. You might say it and your heart is still aching. But, you know, the thing is God is looking that you desire you know, the best for your enemies, even if they're flaunting or acting crazy. And
mm-hmm.
I said,
yes.
You know, I tell people, I'm having an elevator experience right now. And what I mean by that is, you know, as you are trying to put me down and make me feel bad about myself, God is using that experience to elevate me as, you know, I'm waving, you know, doing a presidential wave to my haters, you know, and throwing them kisses. Because I know that if I do what God says do, He's going to lift me up, you know, into heavenly places. He's going to elevate my thinking, elevate who
I'm
gonna am.
I'm
going to
borrow that. I'm
I
having an elevator moment.
Active.
I'm going to borrow that from now
yep.
on.
Oh, go ahead. Because I tell people, as you know, let the haters be who they are. And that's a great way to locate people. When people start saying, well, who do you think you are? Well, why are you doing that? And who told you? You know, I'm listening. I'm hearing the hatred. I'm hearing the jealousy and the envy. But, baby, I'm not coming down to your level. You
that's
don't
right.
have to come up to
that's
mine.
Right. Hello.
Or see ya. See ya. Don't want to be ya. You know, and I'm going to show that in a way that's kind. I am not going to go tit for tat with you. I don't have to respond to your negativity. All I can do is give you a smile and say, you know what, you have a blessed day.
That's
and keep
right.
it moving, baby. Keep it
yes.
moving. I'm not going to stay in that atmosphere of hatred and disrespect because I know who I am.
That's
I
right.
know who God called me to be, and he's
that's
called
right.
me higher, and I'm staying in that high elevated place in my thinking. And because you don't get it, I'm sorry, but that Bible is available to you just like it's available to me. And if you
Hello.
Don't get it,
Amen.
You need to stay in that word a little bit longer. Get saturated, baby. Eat the whole loaf.
Yes.
You hear me? Take your medicine. Yes. Take your medicine. You might not want it, but take it anyway. What did our parents do? They made you take stuff that you thought was horrible. You thought your parents were trying to kill you when you had to take that St. Joseph. When they made you take that stuff that, you know, made your tongue go, oh, made your face twist. But God knew, your parents knew what you
yes.
needed. No,
yes.
to make you a healthy, well-rounded human being. You know, I ain't trying to stay in the gutter. I'm trying to go up. So, baby, you can come with me, you know, or you can stay down there. It's a choice. Life is about decisions. It's about choices. I can
yes.
choose to. And just because you're living in the hood or just because you're living in a lowly place, that don't mean you got to act like them.
No, you better
know,
preach.
Still have a level of self-respect. You can still show folks what you're working with. You want to see what I'm working
right.
with? You better watch me. I'm keeping it real 24/7, you know. And just because I'm college educated doesn't mean that, you know, I still can't talk and have a little fun in my conversation, you know, a little
That's
Ebonics
right.
there to help you get the message. But the point is, we can all do better. We can all come
yes,
up.
Can.
You know, it doesn't mean you think you're better. It just means you want to be better. You want to do better.
Right.
That's what it's all about. And if you
That's
don't
right.
get it, just watch my smoke. You get it after a while.
That's right. It'll come to
get
you.
Get it on the way home, right? Like the preacher say, get it on the way home. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, next year, but you'll get it later on. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, God, it's so good. Oh, gosh, it's been such a pleasure.
And you all, yes. Well, it's been another powerful show with another powerful woman. Awesome. We're going to be following you, Jennifer Heyman. Looking forward to you coming back on the show at some point in time. Tell us about some more of your cooking and give us some more success tips. Oh, my God, what you shared about, so much has been shared here today. So we're just excited for this show today. We're excited for the information.
It was a pleasure to be here. I am so humbled by the request. I truly appreciate it, and I do hope that someone out there listening heard something that will resonate with them, that will sort of bury itself in their soul and grow into something that will help them improve not only themselves but improve those around them too, because just because you know it, it doesn't do anything until you pass it on to someone else. So hopefully they heard something that passed on.
Yes, and wow. Doc, I wanted to ask you, I have a cousin that lives in Virginia Beach. What is your address of your business?
Actually, my business is online. If they want to reach out to me, I can give them my phone number. Area code is 757-270-3933. Mm-hmm. We're in the Southampton Roads area.
Southampton Roads.
In eastern
That's
Virginia,
awesome.
On the east side of Virginia, all the way to the water. I'm in Virginia Beach.
Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller online. I don't let the person get away.
Go ahead.
Area code 314. Your line is open. The first three digits of your number, 448. So, yes, thank you for holding on.
Hello? Caller? You can speak now. Is that Angela?
Hi, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Always blessed.
We're great.
I wanted to say thank you, Ms. Cassandra, for allowing me to hear. I love to be in the presence of eagles.
Awesome.
When you said, who do people think you are, I always tell people, well, I think that I am a royal priesthood.
All right now.
That's what I think I am. And so I just really didn't want to say much. I just wanted to say I'm just honored that God loves me so much to put me in the presence of his people. And the people, not only any kind of people, but the people that he would use to sharpen me. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. So glad you called in and you were blessed by our speaker today. She is an awesome woman. Was there anything else you wanted to ask her or any comments?
Well, I got in from another call late, so I didn't catch everything that who she is and actually what she does. I came in on the part when she said we need to catch women early. At the stage when they're pregnant to train and teach. So I really.
And what's your name?
My name is Angela Monet.
Angela, you know what? You didn't miss a thing because the show will be in archive about 10 minutes after we air. So about 10 minutes after we air, you can go back and you can get every gem, every nugget that was dropped. And so all you need to do is follow if you saw the flyer, you can follow the link, the website you saw on the flyer. Will take you right to the page, and you will see our guest, you'll see her name, Jennifer Heyman. Mm-hmm. And her name, you click on that link. Now, all the shows are there. So, but thank you so much for calling in. And, for those of you who just tuned in, even if you're just tuned in, well, it would be hard to just tune in unless you tune in via the internet. But after 8 o'clock, if you dial in, you would not get through. After 8 o'clock, the phone line is no longer open. But anyone that you can stay on, because Blog Talk does allow us a few extra minutes. But anyone who's listening via the internet,
they can hear at any time, however long we're on. So for those of you, if you just tuned in, definitely go back and listen to the show. And, you know, Coach Cassandra and I have been talking. There are many, many shows that are worth listening to three or four or five times. And so actually, very, very soon in the near future, we are going to be replaying many of the shows that you've missed. So if you just, let's just say you just started listening to the show and you think, wow, this is awesome. I wonder what I've been missing. Well, you don't have to wonder anymore because you're going to get to hear all of the best are you're going to be hearing over the next several weeks. You will be listening to the best of the AAE show. And so that's another little announcement that I just slid in on everybody. But Coach Cassandra and I, we've talked about it extensively. And so don't forget tonight, we have the powerful Power of Your Possibility show. So if you want the flyer, you just inbox Coach Cassandra, inbox me. We'll get you the flyer and information is on tonight, 9 o'clock. And so we do have to go and get prepared for that. It takes a lot to put that show on. Even though it happens once a month, it takes all of our energies to put that together. We want to work on that. Thank you again for listening, all of those of you listening. Thank you again, Jennifer. We got all your contact information. We love you. If you missed any of Jennifer's contact information, you can go back and get it all from the archives. Thank you again, lady, and I can't wait to come to Virginia and get some good cooking. I want some cornbread.
Looking forward to having you back with us. So excited about that.
Oh, I'll be there soon, but I want some cornbread and crab legs. Cornbread
okay.
And crab legs.
And do the cornbread. I'll have to work on the crab legs.
Cornbread legs and corn on cob, my favorite.
Oh, that part we can handle.
I want to see how you chef make corn on the cob. So, Coach Cassandra, if you close us out, and we'll see everybody tonight.
Listen, everyone, don't forget to tune in tonight, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on Power Up Your Possibilities. We're going to show you how to own the power that's on the inside of you and tap into your potentials, which lead to your purpose, which leads to fulfillment in life. Isn't that what it's all about? So we've got two power-packed individuals who are absolutely dynamite, Manly Feinberg, who took Build-A-Bear from 40 companies to over 400. So I think he can speak into our lives tonight. And then we also have Sarah Centralia, who is absolutely phenomenal. She was recently on the Steve Harvey Show. And this show is only on once a month. So tell a friend, tell an enemy, but tell somebody to get on the show tonight. And I want you to look for the flyer. It's on my page. You should be able to, if you don't see it immediately, just scroll down a little bit, or Coach LaLisa Williams. And, again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love you. And we want you to have a supercalifragilistic expialidocious expansion. Woo! All right. Love you. Have an awesome day. And tune in tomorrow. Tell somebody about it. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I know I swear if I just believe. I know I can reach my dream. My visions I can really see. But no one can stop me but me.
I gotta keep trying, I gotta keep striving, I gotta keep climbing, cause I reach the top. I gotta keep going, keep on believing. I guess I know that I cannot stop. Doesn't matter if I'm gonna make it through it all. For now, I see God believing in me. Gonna reach the top and I'm gonna
believe I can do all things through Him that loves me. I know I can reach my destiny, but my path has been paid for me. A battlefield and a siege you can't win. Discouraged to tell you fear, but just have the power within. But you still be strong when life.